الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began by saying that the souls, our souls, have been created with this quality of showing appreciation or gratitude to anyone who does you a favor. If someone gave you a ride, for example, you needed a ride to get somewhere, and someone gave you a ride free of charge, naturally, within yourself, you feel appreciation towards this individual, and you try your best to reward them for this favor that they are giving you. And if this is the case, then who is better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The one whom every favor that we have is from Him, and every goodness that we receive is from Him, and every calamity that is removed away from us and we're protected from is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it then acceptable or suitable that we respond to Him by disobedience and not fulfilling His obligations and His commandments? The Shaykh mentioned that the khutbah really is about love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He deserves it. He said this is something that all the souls compete against one another to see who can attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the nutrition for the soul. It is the nutrition for the soul, and it is the aid that we need in order to endure this life and the difficulties that we have in this life. Each one of us is traveling, and among the things that will enable us to reach our destination safely is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said that the love that we have must be accompanied with fear. The love that we have for Allah must be accompanied with fear. As the scholars have mentioned, love and fear are like the two wings of a bird. And you cannot possibly fly unless you have two wings. Because those who claim that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having any fear of Him are extreme, and they are conceited. On the other hand, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have no love for Him are also those who are despairing from the mercy of Allah. And both of them are unacceptable. Rather, the believing servant travels with and flies with these two wings, love of Allah and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the things that will help one of us acquire the love of Allah is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing Allah through His names and attributes. And this is something that we Muslims in this day and time have become very ignorant about. Just yesterday, I received an email, a long email by some brother who mentioned why are the Muslims in the state that they are in today. And he gave us so much statistics, okay? He said for each one Muslim, for each 100 Jews, for each one Jew there's 100 Muslims. But the Jews are the ones who have this, and the Jews are the ones who have the Nobel Prizes, and the Jews are the ones who have Hollywood, and the Jews are the ones who control the governments, and the Jews, and the Jews, and the Jews. And the bottom line is that the Jews have knowledge. He concluded after comparing the Muslims to everybody in the world, is that the reason why we are behind because we don't have any worldly knowledge. We don't have any worldly knowledge, so Muslims are behind. Bottom line, this is as ignorant as you may be about why the Muslims are behind. Because guess what? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't win a Nobel Prize. Okay, he wasn't a doctor, he wasn't an engineer, he wasn't anything of the sort. Neither were his companions, may Allah be pleased with them. But they were people who knew who Allah was, and due to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them pioneers and leaders of the world. and made everyone in a lesser degree than the Muslims. Not because of their worldly gain, rather because of the knowledge of Allah. So when the Muslims became ignorant about their Lord, this is when the calamities befell upon us. Otherwise we have plenty of doctors, plenty of engineers, plenty of knowledge, plenty of dunya things. We don't have any deficiency in that. Alhamdulillah, every other Muslim is an educated Muslim who has some sort of decent position in life. But how often do you run into a Muslim who knows about his Lord and who's worshipping him properly? This is when we have the issue. So this is a fact that we are really not paying much attention to, and this is what we should invest into these children of ours. We don't need, alhamdulillah, we have plenty of doctors, plenty of engineers. We're not saying have your son or daughter be ignorant, but some of these children must be also included in the knowledge field. You need someone who knows the deen, someone who can educate the Muslims, so the Muslims can go back to their early days, as the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, used to be. So loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by knowing Him through His names and attributes. And what is intended by that is that you know, for instance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the loving Al-Wadud, and Allah is Ar-Rahman, the most gracious, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. You know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names and attributes, where you ask Him and you worship Him according to the name and the attribute. So if you know that Allah is forgiving, then you exert yourselves in order to attain the forgiveness of Allah. On the other hand, you know that Allah is severe in punishment. So you exert yourself to avoid that which will bring about Allah's punishment. This is what is intended by knowing Allah through His names and attributes. Not just memorizing them. Because some people misunderstand the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, whomever encompasses them will enter Jannah. So you find a brother has them all memorized, but he does not know any of them in terms of meaning, and he does not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance to them. What is intended by the hadith is that you worship Allah according to His names and attributes, not merely recitation, not merely having them memorized. This is what we lack in this day and time. And there are signs that prove that a person is a true believer and a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Verily, the believers are those, meaning this is exclusivity, exclusive. The true believers are only those. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, their hearts tremble. When Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble from the greatness of Allah. And when you see a disobedient individual and you tell him, Ittaqillah, ya akhi, for instance, you run across someone smoking a cigarette. You tell him, ya akhi, why are you smoking a cigarette right now? He says, yeah, I can't leave it alone. So ya akhi, do you know that Allah is watching you? I'm asking you right now, why you have the cigarette in your mouth? Are you mindful that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you? And you are disobeying him. This is after he agrees that it's haram. Yes, he says yes. And he will continue to smoke. Had this person been a true believer, as soon as you remind him that Allah is watching over him, your soul will not allow you to continue. You can't. Because you will feel shy. You will recognize the greatness of Allah, that Allah can take revenge from you from above the seven heavens. The earth will split open and swallow you. This is what a true believer feels. But if we don't have this understanding, you'll find this person does not even care. You say, I take care of Allah. Allah will ask you on the day of judgment about this money. Allah will ask you about this body that He gave you as a trust, as an amana. You are wasting it. You are harming your Muslim, the brothers around you. You're harming yourself. You're harming your family. All this with the cigarette. You're killing yourself. And this person will continue with his ways because iman is not as in this verse. Verily, the true believers are those when Allah is mentioned, when you remind him of Allah, his heart will tremble, he will get soft, he will relax. He will not insist on his sin. And if the signs and the verses of Allah are recited upon this individual, it will increase him in iman. It will increase his iman. And they are relying upon their Lord. It is those who rely upon Allah. They depend on Allah. Tawakkul, which is the heart depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about the benefits and to protect you from harm. This is the true meaning of tawakkul. And Allah says in another verse, O you who believe, whomever apostates from among you, away from his religion, whomever leaves alone Islam, and go somewhere else, as it is happening in this day and time. Then verily, will Allah will bring a nation that yuhibbuhum, that Allah loves, wa yuhibbuna, and they love Him, and they will be humble towards the believers, and they'll be stern against the disbelievers, and they fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not fear anyone blaming them. They do not feel the reprimanding of anyone. This is the virtue of Allah and the bounty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vast in knowledge. The brother said, among the signs of loving Allah is hating anything that will distract you from Allah. Anything that will distract you from the remembrance of Allah, you dislike it. Sometimes it could be your own friends. Sometimes you have guests come and visit you right at salah time, and they feel like getting comfortable right at salah time. Of course you're supposed to give them some tea or some qahwa or some something sweet, and you want to also honor the guest. But ya Shaykh, at the time of salah, so now you are in a very rough position. At this point, if you are a true believer, you'll have an issue with these brothers, although you love them for the sake of Allah, but at this point they are distracting you from a more important obligation, which is attending the masjid for the salah. You see? So anything that will distract you from the remembrance of Allah is disliked by the true believer who truly loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh mentioned that this, we discussed this before, this is a big claim. The claim of loving Allah is the claim of every human being upon earth. Not just a Muslim, anyone in the world will claim that he loves Allah. The Jew and the Christian, he will tell you that he loves Allah. Of course they have another concept of Allah, Azza wa Jal, but they make the same claim. And among the Muslims are also these individuals who claim that they love Allah. And we mentioned before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this particular ayah as a challenge for those who make this claim. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, to the people sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you claim, keyword claim, if you claim that you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you, and He will forgive you your sins, and Allah is the oft forgiven, the most merciful. Now when we come to the actual manifestation of this verse, this is when you see ajaib, you see wonders among the Muslims. They love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by putting a sticker on the car. And they love him by putting a portrait in their house that says Allah and Muhammad alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they love him by different ways. But you will never find the real way of love, which is the following. And this is what this verse is about. It's not about claiming. They say talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. You can make any claim. One of these kids can say, I am the most knowledgeable in this masjid. I can carry a coat on my shoulder. They say, but this sounds very nice. Show us now what you can do. If he's unable to do it, it's just talk. And talk is cheap. So we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But where is the action? Where are we from his obligations? I don't want to pick on anyone, but let's just take, for instance, the beard. This beard, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, and Imam Malik, and Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad, and all the Amma agree without any difference that it's obligatory upon a Muslim man to let his facial hair grow, except for the mustache. There's no difference of opinion. Wajib, not mustahab, not optional, not according to the style or the fashion or what is pleasing to you. It's whatever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded. The evidences for that are too many to enumerate right now. But let's tell you that the A'imma, if you follow any one of them, have agreed that it's obligatory on you to leave your beard alone. Leave it alone. Now, regardless of whether it is a wajib or mustahab, ya akhi, if you know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this and you truly love him, would you not follow him? That's the question right there. Look at your children. If they like some loser on TV, whether he's a basketball player or a soccer player or a singer, what do you see him at home? Doing the same thing he does. All the children walking around with soccer t-shirts because of some loser that plays soccer. This is a sign of what? Love. He did it, we do it. He wears his jersey, I wear his jersey. Tayyib, here's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where's the love? Forget about the wajib. Ya akhi, if he did it, what do you want? You're afraid of who? The people? They're not going to give you a job because of a beard? La wallah, you'll get a better job with a beard. Because if you obey Allah, Allah will make a way out for you. You disobey Him, the doors will close. But it's the shaitan who tries to beautify things for the people. Oh no, no, you have a beard? No, they don't want to give you a job. Many people have beards and have better jobs than those without. Trust me. Brothers are around you. I'm not picking on anyone. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Don't feel bad if you don't have a beard. Inshallah, tomorrow you'll have one. But for now, take this information as serious. I'm trying to prove to us to understand the reality of this verse. That this verse needs to be implemented in action. And the beard is only an example. Many things are more important than the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't also want to have a beard where Allah call you mutawwi' and inside you're the most wicked of people. You're a liar, you're a cheater, you have bad manners. This is a person who's worse than a person without a beard. So the beard doesn't mean that you are a mutawwi'. This is also another wrong expression. They see a beard and say, this is mutawwi', mutawwi'. Who told you it's mutawwi'? Mutawwi' is an Arabic word that means ta'ah, obedience. He only has one form of obedience. He may be disobedient in other ways. So he should not be given this tazkiyah, this purification, while this brother is fearful of Allah. Because he may not be. So we don't want to be stuck with the appearances without dealing with the inside. But the scholars say, al-zahir anwan al-batin. The outside is a sign for what's inside. So if inside is good, outside is going to be good. You can have a beard and be bad inside. We don't want that. But at the same time, we don't want to not have a beard and be bad inside. The best thing is to have good manners, act according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be nice and gentle to the people, be loving to your Muslims regardless of the nationality and the ethnicity and the skin color, and follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then and only then, you are implementing this verse. And this is when we truly will understand the love of Allah. Otherwise, we really don't understand the love of Allah. It is not really just by saying, I'm a Muslim, I'm this, I follow that. It's about the true manifestation of your lifestyle. It will be obvious in your way of life that you are a true follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of people ever. Allah chose him from among all the men and chose me and you to be his followers. His followers, not followers of Adam, not followers of Nuh alayhi wasallam or Ibrahim. All of them are virtuous with Allah. But the best of them is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah chose me and you to follow Him, the best of His messengers. That's an indication that we should be the first to implement, the first to follow Him alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn Umar used to urinate where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to urinate. This is not even worship, but this is how much he loved Him alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how keen he was on following Him. Even in the place of urination, he would go follow Him. Now we don't even follow Him in the obligations. He tells us this, and we do the opposite. He tells us to follow, we turn away. Then we have the nerve to say, Wallah, I love Allah, I love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love the Quran. It doesn't work. If the people buy it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about what's in their hearts. And Allah knows who's a true lover versus who is fake. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, say, if your fathers and your children and your brothers and your wives, and for the sisters, your husbands, and your tribe, the people that you are living with, or your country, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, and wealth that you have earned, and what have you, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَقْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and a business, you are afraid that it will vanish and go away from you, and homes which you are pleased with as your residences, if they are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and struggling in their cause, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about His command, and verily Allah does not guide those who are corrupt. The point here is Allah called them fasiqun, corrupt, those whom their families and their businesses and their dunya is more beloved to them than Allah and His Messenger. Allah says wait until Allah brings about His command. So where are we from this verse but by Allah? Me and you. Where are we from this verse? Is Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are they more beloved to us than our wives and our children, our homes, our business? Wallahi, often it's not. What matters is the money, not the salah. What matters is knowing about the dunya, not knowing about Allah. What matters is pleasing our children and our wives, even if it's going to entail disobeying Allah. They want it, we bring it. Baba, I want a PlayStation. Okay, you go buy a PlayStation. What is this PlayStation? It's a shaitan station. All day watching women half naked and singing songs and fighting and killing and violence. Nonsense. Nonsense. Children brought up upon knowing every football player, but he doesn't know any of the companions. He knows how to beat the game, but he doesn't know how to recite Surah Al-Ikhlas. That's what we have. Wallah, I love my child. So you destroy him, you throw him in the fire. It's not what makes him happy, it's what makes you happy. You're the father, he's the son. He's not the father, you're the son. We love them in the context of Islam. You love him by saving him from the fire, not by letting him live a life that will lead him to the hellfire. He doesn't know any better. And he will complain on the day of judgment. That he told you, you asked him, you know, you're not supposed to answer things that are not right. So this is among the things that we may be in trouble with. This verse, the fact that we really have the dunya more beloved to us than Allah and His Messenger. May Allah forgive us for our shortcomings. If Allah is pleased with a servant, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will empty his heart for loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his son will remember in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his limbs by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah is displeased with the servant, then He will keep him busy and occupied with the creation. And his tongue is always remembered in the creation, and his limbs are always obeying the creation. And as the scholars used to say in the past, whomever turns away from the servitude to Allah, he will be tested by being a servant to other than Allah. You leave alone the ubudiyyah to Allah, and you become an act for every Tom, Dick and Harry. Anyone who comes, Allah, your boss tells you, no salah in the masjid, say, sami'na wa ata'na. No problem. He's the one with the paycheck. He's the one with the ratib. How am I going to disobey my boss and go to the masjid? No. That's what happens. You leave alone the worship of Allah, you become your boss, will become your Lord. A'udhu billah. Not fully when you leave Islam, but it's an indication of the lackness, lack of iman, and lack of faith, and lack of trust in Allah. Allah is the provider. This is why if you read the verses and you pay attention, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. What's the very next verse? مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah says, and I did not create the jinn and ins except to worship me. So when the person will think, but worship, how am I going to earn a living? Allah says, I do not ask of them of sustenance. Allah does not ask of sustenance of us. Rather, Allah is the one who sustains. You do your ibadah, your rizq was written and will come for you. And Allah does not need us to feed Him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ. This is with tawqeed, with emphasis. Verily, Allah is the razzaq, the one who provides. ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. With power. Allah is able to do that. So we do not want to obey the creation on the expense of disobeying Allah. Because you will lose in this dunya and in the hereafter. Whomever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for him, and He will provide him from the least expected sources. This job, this boss doesn't like it, Allah will give you a boss better than him. But never give any precedence to any human being before the rights of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu said, there are three qualities, whomever possesses them will taste the sweetness of the iman. The first is loving Allah and His Messenger more than anything else in this dunya. The second is that you love a brother and you love him strictly for the sake of Allah. And the third one is that you hate to go back into disbelief after Allah has saved you from it. The same way you hate to be thrown in the fire. Where you really hate kufr. You love iman and you hate kufr. These three qualities, my brothers and sisters, if we do not have them, we will not enjoy iman. You will not enjoy the sweetness of iman. And the sweetness of iman, when it mixes with the heart, as one of the righteous predecessors said, he says, wallahi, some moments come to those who believe that if the people in Jannah were feeling what these people feel, then they would be in a great bounty because of the iman. That if the kings and the princes knew what the believers enjoyed from happiness, they will fight against them with the swords, trying to claim some of this happiness and satisfaction that the mu'min has in his heart. Even if outwardly he doesn't seem happy, even if his clothing are not too nice, even if his house is shaggy, you know, even if his car is barely running, but inside he's happy with Allah. Versus someone who has a Mercedes and a castle and the whole nine yards, and when he's alone he's discontented, he's unhappy, he's unsatisfied. He feels that his chest is constricted, it's tight. Because Iman has not entered and has not brought this weakness that is expected, as these were mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith. I don't want to elongate this any longer. The Shaykh said then that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a fruitful tree that continues to produce fruits, and these fruits are the righteous deeds and the good character that one of us will have. And it is to be in agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret and in public. يعني you don't appear in front of the people to be Shaykh al-Islam and then when you go home you're a'udhu billah, a wicked person. This is also unacceptable. We have the shortcomings, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon us. But you don't want to have, يعني, as they say, two-faced. In front of people you are fearful of Allah, and by yourself you are on some website watching a'udhu billah, something that is not pleasing to Allah. Now, some of this righteous study says, it said, poor are the people of the dunya. They left this dunya without ever enjoying that which is the sweetest in it. So when it was said, what is that which is the sweetest in this dunya? They said, it is loving Allah and feeling close to Him and looking forward to meeting Him and enjoying remembering Him and obeying Him. And basically, this is more or less what the Shaykh said. And I remind myself and you to go back to what we are supposed to be upon. Each one of us here, including myself, is full of shortcomings. And the objective of these talks is not to reprimand anyone or put him down or make him feel that he's no good. Each one of us has his own shortcomings. Some of them people know, some of them no one knows about, but Allah. The idea is that we recognize them and we work on rectifying our condition. If we're going in the wrong direction, then we start traveling in the right direction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the repentance of those who repent. If we have not been doing a particular act of worship, no harm. No harm, as long as we start doing it. Because Allah will forgive all of the previous sins upon us repenting. This is mercy from Allah. Because if we were to be held accountable for the past, we will never survive. But if we change our ways, then Allah Azza wa Jal will accept the repentance of a servant. The problem is when the reminders go from this ear and get out of this one. When you hear, but you don't listen. And I will conclude this with some verses from the Quran that are a threat to those individuals. May Allah not make us among them who hear and do not obey. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُمْ وَلَا تَوَلَّ عَنْهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. All you who believe, obey Allah and His Messenger and do not turn away from Him while you hear. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. And do not be like those who say that we hear, but in reality they listen not. يعني they hear with their ears, but they do not hear in a way where they are able to translate that into acts of worship and good deeds. إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ السُّمُّ الْبُكْمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Verily the most evil of the creation of Allah, the most evil of the creation of Allah are those who are deaf and blind and they understand not. If you look at the context of these verses, it deals with obeying Allah and His Messenger and not turning away while we listen. And we don't want to be like those who say that we listen but we really don't listen, because these are the worst of the creation of Allah. Then Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. All you who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger if He calls you to that which will give you life. And although you are alive, we are talking about the life of the heart, the life of Iman. استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه. And know that Allah comes in between the slave and his heart. وأنه إليه تحشرون. And that to Allah you will be gathered, you'll be resurrected. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that if we turn away from the reminder, know that Allah can come between you and your heart. Meaning, you cannot guarantee Iman for yourself. You cannot guarantee that you will die as a Muslim. This is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh Allah, the one who turns your hearts over, keep my heart firm on your deen. If the Messenger alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah to keep him a Muslim, then what about me and you? So we don't want to hear and disobey, because then we are in the danger zone Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us all from the shortcomings and from the evils of ourselves. And I praise Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounties and His blessings. And we ask Allah to send the peace and the blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.